Welcome to episode 3 of the BBL show. I'm Drew Lasker.
And I'm Jay Marriott. Welcome to the Morningside Arena, home of the Leicester Riders.
And a place where my Newcastle Eagles had many, many epic battles against the Riders.
Last time here, it was a champagne moment for Mr. Lasker as I watched him lift the trophy.
I can still smell it.
Talking of champagne moments, 40th birthday coming up on Sunday, my man. Yes. Happy birthday.
Appreciate it, man. What you got me?
Flowers and chocolate.
Awesome. I'll be looking out for that. But we are live here from Morningside Arena. As you can see, we got exclusiveness here from the Riders locker room as they prepare for the Sheffield Sharks tomorrow night live on Sky Sports. But we got a jam-packed show for you today, so stay locked.
We kick things off with guest host Mo Muncy as he goes one-on-one with Coach Rob Paternostro.
And things get burning with hot topics.
You're with me for WBBL Focus.
And then we get into our guest of the hour, Leicester Riders star, Kemble McKenzie. And we wrap things as I put Jay and Kemble up to a little putting challenge. Stay locked.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by a legend of this league who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. Coach Rob Paternostro of the Leicester Riders. Now, Rob, I came to Leicester for uni, so I came down to some Riders games. And I remember watching the games, and I remember looking at them, and I'm thinking, who's that coach screaming on the sidelines? I've never seen someone with passion for the game quite like yours. So you guys at home, you've got to excuse Rob's voice, because I know he must have blown out his voice box. I don't know what's happening with the team right now, but I know that voice box must be on the ropes. Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming down. And thanks for the support back then. Those are different times for the Riders.
Man, I'm still supporting just from a distance right now, but I've got to give you your props right now. You're joining a club of 600 games coached.
Yeah.
That's quite a list. You mean, you're joining Paul James, Fab Fauntleroy. Like, this is legendary. How does it feel and how much does it mean to join those two legends?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think when you look at both of them, when I first came over as a player, they were both, Fab was a player in the league, Coach James was a coach, so I've known them for a long time, and to be mentioned with those names feels great. Obviously, Fab and I had a great back and forth rivalry in the late 2000s or so, where both of our teams were going at it a lot. So to be in that company feels great. It's a lot of games, no doubt.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you've done such a great job coaching. You've won 442 of those 600 games, right?
Okay.
Unless you've won another one since I last counted, maybe it's 443.
I don't know.
We were here, and before we started filming, for the guys at home, we were talking about championship banners. Everyone knows I'm a Boston guy. When I cover the NBA, and you look up in the Boston Guard, you see all the banners. I don't think there's enough space in here to have all the banners. But what are the keys to having so much success at the club level here with the Riders?
Good players. I think, let's be honest, it sounds simple, but to bring in good players. And we've had so many great players over the years. I think it's very important to have guys with talent. But then I think it's important to have the depth that you need to get through each season. I think that's the challenge. I think, you know, it's all well and good in September and October, November, to have a good team, but you have to have the depth that's ready for the long haul. And for us, especially over the last 10 to 12 years, we feel like we've put together a group that has really improved as the season went on and got contributions from many players up and down the roster. So talent is very important, but you need the depth as well. You have to have that depth to deal with what you deal with in a season.
What do you look for when you're identifying players that you want to bring either from the States, from Europe, or homegrown players here in the UK? Because, you know, growing up watching the BBL, there was a lot of roster turnover. You'd see some players, that's my favorite player, and then next season he's gone elsewhere. So what do you look for when you're identifying those talented players to come in to join the squad?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for versatility. I think that's important. That's always been important for me, to have guys that can play multiple positions, because that helps your depth. You know, a guy goes down, okay, so-and-so can switch to the four a little bit. So versatility was always important. Winners, you know, it's not so much about how many points you scored, how many rebounds you had, but did you play on a winning team? What program did you play for? Were you coached the right way? I think that's always important for me too, and good people. I think the bottom line is, you could have the greatest player in the world, but if he can't get along with the group, if he can't work together on the court, off the court, you're going to struggle. And then the last thing is IQ. I think that you know, when you look at players, we look at how they did in school as well. I think that's important because we want players that have a high IQ and are quick learners.
Now, you must be doing something right because 17 championships, that's unprecedented, really. Which of those titles stands out the most to you?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked all the time, and I think there's two of them. I think the first one, no doubt about it, it was in Birmingham. It was the cup final. We were playing Newcastle, who we were trying to get over, get by, and it was a great ball game, came down to the last minute. And it was awesome because I had my son Lucas with me at that day and picked him up in the air. There's a great picture that still hangs in this arena. So looking at that brings back wonderful memories. First trophy won with the club, and then the first league title later that season. To win a league title for this club that had such a great history but was never able to get over the line, the joy that I saw in fans' faces, staff's faces, is something I'll never forget.
You know, this season you guys didn't get off to the greatest of starts. I think you lost three games last season. You only lost two over the course of the entire season, but you managed to turn things around. Four-game win streak, big game against the Sharks coming up. How much of that loss of Geno Crandall leaving the team has it been for your side?
Yeah, it was a big factor for us because it happened late. I think that we had the team already settled. We were ready to go, and you know, Geno had some interest at a high level, and you know, we gave him our blessing. I'm happy that he's there. It was time for him to go. But yeah, it had a little bit of factor, and the injuries were definitely a factor. You know, we brought C.J. Jackson in. He never got healthy. He was injured. And then we had a bunch of injuries to the squad. With that being said, we also ran into some tough teams on their night that played pretty well. I think our schedule, 6 of 9 so far on the road. So it was tough early on, but what I love about our team is the ability to roll up their sleeves, get to work, and get on with it. And you know, fortunately for us, over the last couple of weeks, we've been playing some really good basketball.
Well, you guys competed in the Champions League as well this season. Would you say playing in Europe is now a staple of this club moving forward?
You know, it's all about the finances. And I think, you know, we only entered that Champions League phase here where we had to win 3 games to get into the Champions League. So it's the qualifying stages that we went into. We didn't go into FIBA Europe Cup this year in the full season. And the bottom line is it's about the numbers. You know, you're going to have heavy investment to get through a European season. And if we don't have that heavy investment and we don't have the right investment, then it isn't the time. So I think that that's going to be the most important thing behind the scenes, because when you look at a European competition, it's not just about Europe. It's about the pressure it puts on the domestic competition as well. I know the last time we were in it, it was a real challenge. So, look, if the funds are right, the investment's right, of course we'd like to go, and of course we'd like to test ourselves against a lot of these teams, but it has to be right.
Well, speaking of investments coming in, the BBL has started to get more and more investment, and you can see the BBL start to level up this season. What's been the most positive changes that you've seen from your perspective?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I think the media has been excellent. I think when you look at our league up against a lot of leagues around the world, you know, the media coverage is fantastic. I think that, you know, it's a selling point for us with players. If you come over here, you will get the exposure that you need to further your career. And I think that's been, you know, with all the technology that's out there now, that has been great for our game, no doubt. They added an extra import this year to the league, and I think it's given it more firepower. When you start looking at teams now and you're scouting the games, there's one extra player there that maybe you have to, you know, look into a little deeper. But I think that, you know, basketball is such a popular sport in this country. I've been in this country now for 22 years. And I think that the only way is up. And I know there has been people that have resisted basketball for a while, but I don't think there's anything stopping us now.
No, it's all the way up from here. While we're talking about the media, I've got to give a shout out to Joe Pinchin, my brother. He's now with the Chicago Bulls, but he did so much for growing the Leicester Riders program on the media side and all of that. Want to show some love to him.
Yeah, no doubt.
But you coached against some great coaches in your time. I want to know your top three guys that you've gone up coaching against.
On the spot, here we go. Fab Flannoy, well, right off the bat. Obviously, his intensity, he was a player coach, but there's no one ever like him. I mean, he is a unique individual. I remember the first time I played against him when I came over, I just looked at one of my teammates and said, who is this guy? I mean, his intensity was off the charts, and it was the same thing when you coached against him. I mean, barely say hello to you on the way into the game, which you respected because we were competitors. Certainly a lot of respect there. Tony Garbelletto was always a guy I loved to coach against. He was a guy I played for, so that was special. Whenever you play for somebody and you go up against them, It's tough. And then I'll say Paul James. I mean, we have so much history. You know, speaking to him last week, my 600th game was against him at Plymouth. And the stories we can tell back and forth about the league, you know, can go on for days. So those are three guys that I'll pick out.
Absolutely legendary stuff. Coach, it's been a pleasure.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for everything.
I appreciate you. It's time to see what's hot around the BBL as we head on to the hot topics. Fellas, it's back to you.
Things heating up in the British Basketball League as it's the season of change. Beginning with the London Lions, currently on a losing streak, losing two of their last BBL games. Needing a jolt to their offense, they've replaced GB International Devin Van Oostrom for former Utah Jazz Mia Oni. Up north in Glasgow, the Caledonian Gladiators' Darian Adams returns home for personal reasons, and Coach Murray is negotiating with a replacement. Finally, here in Leicester, the Riders got their replacement at center as Mo Walker goes out for the rest of the season with an Achilles injury, but they replace him with GB International Aaron Menzies. Jay, as I mentioned, there are a lot of transactions in the British Basketball League. Which one of those are going to be the most impactful?
Yeah, three real interesting picks right there, and you could go either way, but I'm staying right here in this locker room with the Leicester Riders signing Aaron Menzies. This is a fierce, competitive club from top to bottom, and this signing just shows us that they are fighting and they are ready to take the battle for trophies. So for me, they've got a legit seven-footer, GB International, great on the pick and roll, rim deterrent, and a great player in that post position. So exactly what they need to take the load off Nelson Henry right now. Obviously, super sad to see Mo go down. Hope you get well soon. But I think Aaron's going to have a massive impact on this team, and I think he'll fit in really well.
And if we know anything about Rob, they're not going to go out with a fight. They're not just going to hand the trophy over to the London Lions. But for me, it's looking at the Caledonian Gladiators, the Darian Adams departure. I'm not going to speculate on why he left. Their personal reasons can mean a number of things. But, you know, you're looking at a team that are currently seventh in the league, 3-6 at the moment. I picked them eighth, by the way. But I know Coach Murray isn't going to be satisfied with that. And he probably feels like they need to shake things up anyway, right? Like something just isn't right with that group. They got the talent. But like I mentioned that earlier, I'm pretty sure we'll get a replacement sooner than later.
Absolutely. And as you said, just seems to me there's something a little bit missing when you're watching their games. They've got a bona fide star in Sloan, so let's hope they get another piece that can help them.
Well, guys, that wraps up Hot Topics, but let's transition over to the women's game.
Welcome to WBBL Focus. We stay right here for the Leicester Riders WBBL team. This is a story of a coach returning to his club and a star returning to our league. Coach Gramesh returns to the Leicester Riders after 2 years in Sweden, and he brings with him a former WBBL star, Ashley Ireland, an inside-outside threat, and a former league and cup MVP. And guess what? She hasn't missed a beat. She's averaging 16.8 points per game and 9.5 rebounds per game. This is far from a one-woman team that Coach Gramesh has put together. A team built for success with scoring USA guard Aliana Squires being the Robin to Ashley's Batman. With a strong supporting cast of O'Dwyer, Brown, Rob, Edge 48, and Sarson, to name but a few. Can they topple the London Lions? Well, that's the question that everybody's trying to answer in the league, but they are definitely one of the rising teams here in the WBBL. Rider up. No games on the slate this weekend because of the international break, but they return on the 3rd of December with 5 matches. Make sure to check out the WBBL YouTube channel for all streamed games. Enjoy. Let's transition back to the men's game. It's your social media spy. Van Oostrom out, Mia Oni in. Tahir Hajat had this to say. Whilst Devon made valuable contributions to the Lions this season and has been a superb professional, the need for another scorer has been very evident in the campaign so far, and he's looking forward to see how the change plays out. Now, Drew, my question to you is, do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been vocal on Twitter, ironically, about the London Lions as of late, in particular when I got a chance to watch them in Europe. And I felt like they have one thing missing, is that is at the point guard position. If you look at Luke Nelson, who is their starting point guard, I think it's safe to say that he is not a true point guard. And I think it obviously robs him of what he does best, right, which is playing off the ball, which is shooting, which is attacking. But now he's having to run a team, organize a team, and it takes away from his strengths. And so, unfortunately, Van Oostrom was the odd man out in that situation. But we know how it is. This is professional basketball. You don't have time to be worried about anybody's feelings. You got to do what's best for your ball club. And it was clear that they can upgrade that position and bring in someone who can not only handle the ball, but who can score, but most importantly for me, who can play make, who can make it easy for Decker, who can make it easy for those other guys and set them up and put them in the right positions.
Yeah, and unfortunate for Devin, you know, these things happen, and sadly probably didn't do a lot wrong. They just needed another piece in that particular position. We're introducing another NBA caliber guy, and you know, what do you think that does for the league?
Well, what's the thing that we've been talking about all year that our league needs? It needs more visibility. And as you see there, having the NBA on that resume does just that. We saw the tweet from Mark Stein, who is a huge NBA insider, tweet and leak the news. And so now more and more people starting to pay attention to the league. So I remember when there was a time when it was, oh, we have a NBA player playing in the British Basketball League. But guess what? We got three now playing for the same team. And so it can only mean great things. It seemed like the vision is being lived by 777 and the London Lions, and I'm all for it.
Well, I know we have to look a long way back for both of us. As you're approaching 40, I'm already in the club. Let's look at it from a player's perspective on the opposition. How much is that motivating teams right now? We're seeing them. Those two losses for the London Lions has been exactly how you said it would play out, is these guys are going to play with pride and want to test themselves against these NBA guys. So what is Mia Oney walking into?
Well, 9 hungry teams and about 100 hungry players, to be exact, like you mentioned there, Jay. And we said this from the summer when we recorded on the pod. I was not concerned with the star-studded lineup that the London Lions were bringing to this league, because I know how prideful the players are in this league. And when you play the London Lions, it's your Super Bowl, because not only are you trying to prove that you can play on that level, you're trying to get some game film so you can continue to rise up the ranks yourself. So he will be walking into a situation where the London Lions need him to step up and impact from day one.
Yeah, he's got to bring that instant impact. And London Lions, you got a tough job in your hands. That's it. I'm always watching.
Let's move the show along to our main guest. And this guy comes from Ontario, Canada, where he spent 4 years at Bucknell University, followed by a pro career, which took him over to the Canadian League. 2 years in Spain gold, and now his second season for the Leicester Riders, where he has 3 trophies in the cabinet, looking to add more. Let's welcome to the show, Kimble McKenzie.
Yes, sir. How you doing, boys? Thanks for having me.
What's going on?
Thanks for having us in this beautiful ambiance, my man.
No doubt.
Hey, well, welcome to the BBL show.
Yep.
So how's life in Leicester?
Yeah, it's good. I've really enjoyed my last 2 years here. You know, coming from Spain, like you said, it's been a nice, you know, I feel like I'm at home. This is what I tell people. I can go to the grocery stores and speak English. Really nice people here. So I've really enjoyed my time. Yeah, I got nothing bad to say about it at all. Maybe the weather. I could complain about that. Days like today, I could complain about that. It's been good. It's been good.
Well, you touched on the grocery store thing. Most important question is, me and Drew are going to grab some food after this. What's your favorite spot?
In Leicester, there's a Mexican joint called Bodega Kitchen, which if I had to choose in Leicester, I don't go out to eat much, but I would say go and hit that up.
There you go. Still open. We're sorted.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what time does it close? Because we know in the UK, everything closes early.
Yeah, I have no idea.
8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
I have no idea. Maybe just order a pizza.
Yeah, it's going to be fast food, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. McDonald's.
Let's get on to the Leicester Riders. Obviously, it's been well documented that you guys got off to a slow start, 2-3 start, but now things are beginning to click for you guys. You now ran off 4 games in a row.
Yep.
What's clicking for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've just kind of started to learn each other a little bit. I think early in the season, we just didn't have a chance to really be together as a group a lot. You know, we had a couple guys in and out, a new point guard, Pat was gone with GB.
Yeah.
Couple of injuries. So it just, I think early on we just kind of didn't have the best feel for each other maybe. And I think we just started to kind of figure out like, okay, this is kind of our identity. And defensively, I think we've gotten better and better as the games have gone on.
You talked about how you guys had to make an adjustment of not really being together with Patrick Wheeling being gone, et cetera, et cetera. But now you add a new another player to the mix and Aaron Menzies. What is he going to add?
Yeah, size.
Yeah,
a little bit of size maybe.
Was he 6'5"?
Yeah, no, he's all of like above 7 feet. He is massive. Mm-hmm. I think on top of that, I think he fits our team really well. Seems like a really smart player, really good, genuine guy. And yeah, skilled, smart. Obviously the size was the obvious thing, but you know, sets big screens, has played all around the world, just understands the game, I think, you know, understands how to play basketball, you know, how we're going to want to play. I think he'll pick things up really quick. So I think he'll add a dimension that obviously, you know, Mo going down really hurt us, you know, that's our guy. But I think he'll add a good aspect to our team for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's give Big Mo a little bit of a shout out. He featured with us episode 1. World-class pizza maker, I'll have you know. So if you haven't checked out that episode. But let's just talk about his loss as well. We talked about how important it was for the point guard, but also as well for Mo as an individual. He's a big piece for you, and this is another injury on top of things. Like, how has he taken that mentally? And did the group feel that as well? You guys have been real close.
Oh, huge, man, huge. Anytime anyone goes down with anything, we hurt. So, you know, let alone a really serious injury like that. And yeah, Mo's our guy, man. And I'm sure any big who he's matched up against will tell you he's a problem. You know, I'm sure you guys can see it from the outside looking in. You need someone who can get you a bucket. Mo can get you a bucket, right? Mm. So yeah, no, it hurt, man. There's no doubt about it. And aside from the basketball, it sucks. You know, injuries suck. It's like the crappiest part of the game. So we're all with him, you know, we're in touch with him. He's gotten he's taking care of what he has to take care of, and he'll move forward.
Yeah, you talk about how tough it is, especially it being his third major injury, and that's why I really felt for him. And I felt like him getting through a season last year, you know how it is when you go through an injury, you got to get to that mental part. It's like, okay, sure, I made it through unscathed, so now I'm good, and now this happens. Because in the European games that you guys had, I felt like he was your best player.
No, Mo's tough, man. You know, Mo's tough. And yeah, like you said, I mean, yeah, it's his third major injury, but he's shown that he can come back.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly what I told him. I was like, you've done it before. He had his hand hurt for part of the year last year. He was down for a couple weeks. And then the next game, it was like he didn't miss a beat. Like, I don't know, this guy has some sort of ability about him. I know when I miss a lot of time, I come back, and it takes a little bit of time to get back into rhythm. Yeah. Mo's just like, yeah, give me that rock. I got it. So, yeah, I think he'll be fine.
Well, my question to you is, obviously, we've been knowing Rob for a very long time, and we know one thing that Rob hates is losing. So I can just imagine how he was at the beginning of the season. But I want you to give us your best Rob Paternostro impression.
Well, I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. I'm sure it won't.
He won't see this.
Yeah, I mean, what's Rob? Here we go. It'll be, all right, guys. Hey, listen, we're not playing Magic Johnson out there, okay? We're not playing Magic. Go out there, shoot your shot. Everyone step into it, all right? Let it fly. Get a rip in, boys. Like, what are we? We're not playing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in this isn't the Showtime Lakers. Come on.
There we go. That's Rob for you.
Like, if I'm in trouble.
Yeah. I'm going to clap that word in. Rob, come on in now. What is he trying to say? We don't have NBA talent in his league? Has he not seen the London Lions?
That's just like a little example, man. No, if anyone respects opponents, it's Rob. I always say, I was like, after this is his 15th year in the league, I was like, kudos to him, because you would think that he was coaching in his second year, vinegar. You know what I mean? He really, really, every game is like we got to win this game. Yeah. Like, there's a sense of urgency that about Rob, like Rob. Which I love. I just use that example. If anyone respects the opponent a lot, it's Rob. But, yeah, no, he's definitely locked in and not taking anyone for granted, to say the least.
Well, we obviously know he's very, very animated, but let's focus a little bit on college ball. So we know you went to Bucknell. What do you think Coach Rob would be like as a –
college basketball coach?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think it'd be good at the college level. We always joke around, a couple of us, like, yeah, he's going to retire at, like, he's going to be coaching somewhere in Florida, like some school when he's like 70. So, yeah, I think he'd be, I mean, I don't see anything that wouldn't translate to that level.
He's a lifer, right? He's a
lifer. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think he knows how to communicate with guys. Yeah. He knows how to manage personality super well, aside from his ability coaching X's and O's and all that. I think that's big at the college level, is these guys who are you know, just out of their teenage years and in you know, school and this and that, have a lot going on. I think he'd be just as good of a college coach as he is professionally.
My only pullback would say that after being a pro coach for 15 years, the last thing Rob wants to deal with is worrying about if a kid is going to class or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you might be right.
So, Kimball, I hear that you're a golf fanatic. You might even like to call yourself a professional. So I got a cool surprise for you guys. I brought the golf course here, and I got a putting challenge set up. The rules are, the closest to the hole is the winner. Well, since you are the guest, I think it's only right, Jada, we let you have the honors, my friend. So this is all you.
Here we go.
Let's see what those skills are like.
All right, let's do it. You got a ball?
I got you, man.
Hey!
I got something special for you, baby.
Hey!
Best,
here we go.
Best of three.
All right. Just to kind of put you off, let's ask you a couple questions whilst we're playing, because I'm very competitive, want to win and put you off. But let's start with a good question. Newly a father.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, this is going in.
How has that affected you with your pro career?
Get in there.
Oh,
you know what? I've said this. I mean, I'm not sleeping as much as I did, obviously.
Yeah.
But now to less. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it puts everything in perspective like that. I mean, you play a bad game or you lose or, you know, whatever. You have a tough day at practice or you have a great game and you win or whatever. You come back, it's kind of the same. Yeah. You know, you're kind of just in dad mode from there. Obviously, I have a 5-month-old daughter, so she doesn't give a crap what I did at work. it's almost just freed me up a little bit, to be honest with you.
Hold on.
You see him trying to flip-flop.
He thought that was a practice.
Points for the remote, or we got to
stick
it?
Nah, nothing for that. You got to stick that, man.
Here we go.
But no, I can definitely relate to you because I have a 2-year-old, and when I first had my daughter, which was always tough, which people don't understand, is I'll be out practicing all day, getting them extra shots filmed. As soon as I walk in the house, the wife would be like, here you go. And I'm like, I've been born. Can I get a break?
So, yeah. But also, you just talked about it as well. You talk about those long trips. When you come back, they don't care about those long trips. They're not having a lie-in just so that you can get away from that.
100%. Back from Glasgow, 3 a.m. Mark. Up at 6.
Man.
I can see you've been practicing.
Let's see what you got.
Right. Get in there, then.
Lefty come on.
Lucy. Go on, then. Go on.
Lefty here we go. Lucy. Well, you are a shooter, so this should be a hole-in-one, right?
Well,
or used to be a shooter.
This is an odd thing is that I play golf right-handed, even though I'm a lefty. So that's just, let's see how that goes.
One of these guys. One of these weirdos.
Sneeze. Yeah. Very.
And he has the no-shows on as weird. Well, so he should be ready, shouldn't
he? As a golfer, you should always have socks. But here we go.
Oh, I think it's breaking.
Closer you know so far, I think.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's breaking a bit. Morning side.
Yeah, you need to get a feel for
I
how
think
it's running.
We got running. A little. Right to left here, boys.
Well, also another thing that I love, first of all, I love watching you play, and I can tell you play with a lot of grit. Just talk a little bit about where that come from and your upbringing.
Damn, man, I'm showing up. Didn't read the green.
That's an air ball.
Y'all don't even understand. I'm more nervous for this than a basketball game.
That's
seriously,
an air ball.
Man, this is my main sport. where did it come from? I grew up with two brothers. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest. I was always, you know, pretty annoying and pretty kind of in the mix, physical, whatever you want to say. But I mean, I just want to win, to be honest with you. I think it just comes from, right.
Oh
I told you
gosh.
Left to right. That's what I was trying to tell
he's
you.
Gone, he's gone to the same spot.
I think it just comes from wanting to win, man.
Yeah.
And just understanding that I'm a little undersized, you know, so I got to make up for that in some way, and that's with, you know, speed and physicality and, yeah, like you said, grittiness.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about college a little bit, because one of the things me and Drew were talking about is you play a role here on the Riders. There's a role that's expected of you. You accept that, and that's how they're able to win trophies. But actually, in college, you're a big-time scorer. So people don't understand that as we go through this professional life, we have to change our roles. Like, how do you accept and adapt that so quickly? Because watching you from going back to last year, you kind of just fit right in. It was a piece of a puzzle. Yeah. Maybe you didn't play until the third quarter, come on and give that spark.
Yeah.
Or maybe you started, you know, there was such a variation in your role. So talk to me a little bit about
that. Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's the definition of being a pro, is finding your role and then embrace. Look at him, put in some juice on it. All right, here we go. Last one.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, I think that's part of being a pro is, you gotta adapt to survive. You know, if I came in here and tried to get 20 every night, I don't think it'd be very good for the team. I don't know if that would be a winning formula for us. Maybe not. You look at guys even at the highest level in the NBA, and it's like, yeah, I want you to shoot threes and play defense.
Yeah.
You know, I know you were getting 20 a game in college, but to succeed at this level, you gotta play your role. So.
And speaking of role, I like if we're talking about the cup final from last year. Didn't really feature much in the.
I got robbed. I don't know if the camera can see that. Whoa. I got robbed. Hey, we got this thing. The dollar store. That was end over end.
Yeah.
Sorry. What were you saying?
No, but I like the fact of you talking about knowing your role. If we reflect back to the finals when you guys faced in Manchester, didn't really feature much in the first half, but ended up having a big fourth quarter and obviously pushing that lead forward where your team ultimately walked away with the trophy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, I think that's what makes, I've said it so many times, I think that's what makes us so hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, is you can come into a game and say, all right, we're going to shut down these three, four guys. You know, there's a lot of guys to shut down, and then, boom, you got a bunch of guys. Oh, that's a good roll too.
That was right on.
You got a bunch of guys coming off the bench
we're gonna have a winner here.
You know, who are capable and confident.
Yeah.
You know, I was having my Coach Rob joke there earlier, but you know, that's what he instills in us is, you know, everyone be ready to go and be ready to let it rip. So
yeah,
that's what it was. I mean, couple balls came to me and I just, you know, put them up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes us tough is we're deep and. It's not like there's like the feature couple guys. Yeah, you could look at the numbers and definitely, you know, there's those guys for us as well, but everyone's ready to go.
And you being humble, he averaged 17 points a game in college, which is top 10 all time at Bucknell University. So
you're
a baller, man.
Yeah. Give it to you. I mean, it's a team full of ballers.
Yeah.
I think everyone on the team.
To change that mentality, was it overnight? Did you accept that going into the pro game, or did it take a while and a bit of frustration?
There was definitely some like going high school to college. There's some adjustment that needs to be made. And look at us, we're rolling it here.
Goodness, man.
We're rolling it here. Nah, I think just like anything else, there was some adjustment for sure, especially early in my career. I'm year four now, just kind of. Understanding how the game works a little bit more. Early on, maybe I'm forcing some stuff and, you know, trying to be the guy or whatever, but, you know, it's not what coaches want at this level. They want guys who are trying to win.
Yeah. Love that. So how are we doing this?
That's what I'm just.
We've had a straight draw here.
What do you think?
We could be here all night with Drew's pick.
One shot. Let's see who gets closest to the hole, and that will determine the winner.
Here we go. Ditch that.
Perfect.
Since we obviously all of us aren't good enough to make it into the
hole in one,
the golf pro here.
Well, far from it.
I feel we were a little bit cheated.
Far from it.
Closest to the hole.
I'm actually so bad.
I don't know how we're gonna mark this, but.
We'll use the eye test.
We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll use the eye test. Closest to the middle
closest
of that.
Closest to the middle.
All right. So
this is all about touch.
Pace is coming into play now. Yeah. Pace is coming into play.
Oh!
No,
that's
we can't.
I feel.
Oh my
goodness.
That's a backstop. All right, we'll see.
You just use the gifts that you give them.
Y'all gonna do the same thing. You watch.
Use the gifts. I should have unfolded this yesterday.
Yeah, I used the backstop. Come on now.
All right, here we go. I need me a dub right here.
I'm just trying to formulate tactics going last. You know, that might be the best one.
I got a lot of victories against the Leicester Riders in my career.
Here we go.
Here we go right here. Here we go.
Nice talking.
Here we go.
Oh!
now my elbow locked up.
Right. That guys is no, the equivalent of an air ball on the free throw line.
No, oh, seriously, please. My elbow locked up.
You said his elbow locked
air
up.
Air ball on the free throw line.
Yeah, well, no, there we go. Way. I tried to be finesse with it, man.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a layup right here.
If that happened at the Eagles, Coach Fab is subbing you to the bench.
Well, that's why I retired, fellas, because I'm trash now.
Fantastic.
No touch.
Here okay. we go. Pressure's on.
Yep.
No Sock J. Oh,
wow. That's gotta be me.
No Sock J with the.
Y'all are letting me win because I'm
we
the guest.
We have to let the guest win.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Right.
The golfer, golfer wins.
Good job, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate
man.
The golfing segment.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, coming towards the end of the show, let's welcome back our guest host, Mo Moonsey, and see how he got on with Coach Rob. How did you do?
Man, listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to Coach Rob. You know, he has so much knowledge of the game, and obviously me being from a TV background, Rob's obviously someone I've looked up to. He's worked with Sky Sports, he's worked behind the scenes on NBA Tonight over at ESPN as well. So learning from him and seeing his knowledge of the game and how much success he's had with the Riders is absolutely fantastic. And then of course, when I turned up today to do the show, I met Drew for the first time. And Drew said he was expecting me to be really short. So I said to Drew, I'm going to see you on the court. And I know he's had many battles against Rob's coach team. Uh-huh. So I had to get some tips. So I'm going to see you on the court. We're going to have to run some ones.
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it, man. I got you.
Okay, round 9 of BBO action. It is a heavy cup draw. And we are going to Drew to see who comes out alive in these upcoming games.
Well, it's pretty easy for me. I'm going to go with all the home teams. So I'm going to go with the London Lions. I'm going to go with the Bristol Flyers because we know how tough they are at home. Gonna go with the Sheffield Sharks as well, playing some fantastic basketball. And then that leaves us with one team, the Leicester Riders hosting the Newcastle Eagles. And as much as this hurts me, Jay, you know this hurts me. I cannot see the Newcastle Eagles getting through an ascending Leicester Riders squad that's playing some fantastic basketball. And that's also added, which he said, a giant to the squad in 7-2 Aaron Menzies. So I'm going with the 4 home teams.
Guys, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you, Mo. Kimball, Coach Rob, of course, and over to the birthday boy, Nearly. Drew, lead us out.
Hey guys, thanks again for coming and blessing this beautiful set. Kimball, where can people find you on the socials?
Kimball Mac on Twitter and Instagram, K-I-M-B-A-L Mac, simple as that, yeah.
Man, you can catch me at Hoop Genius everywhere. You know the vibes, check out the Hoop Genius podcast every day, Monday till Friday.
Make sure you give those guys a follow, but that's it from us guys. Make sure you subscribe to the BBL's YouTube channel where you can find all the BBL action and every Friday night a featured Sky Live game. But until then, you can catch us same time but different location here on the show.